four-star commitment for Ed Orgeron and the LSU Tigers, who now have a national brand. LSU's pitching staff getting healthy for the stretch run. Will it be enough as the Ole Miss Rebels come to town this weekend? And the Pelicans make a huge hire. No, not a player, but someone to help the players. These stories and more coming your way today, Tuesday, April 30th, 2019.
Tommy Pham drives one to the gap in right center field. This could clean him off. It heads to the wall. In to score Perez. To third base Lau being waved. On his way. No throw by Merrifield. And Pham pulls in to third base standing up. And the Rays have a 4-0 lead.
Embiid turns. Shot clock at three. Kicks it out to the right side. Butler. Three ball. Jimmy Butler has done it again. Bangs it at three. Timeout Toronto.
Here's a 3-2. This one's belted. Right field. That's that homer. And it's a solo. Twins lead 1-0.
And the Twins would ride that homer to a 1-0 victory. Game one of their series with the traveling Houston Astros. Good afternoon and welcome, everybody. Great to be with you. Happy Tuesday, the last day of the month of April, as we turn into May, which leads us to the first Saturday in May, this Saturday, and the run for the Roses as the Kentucky Derby about to get underway. Great to be with you. Hope you're having a fabulous, fabulous day. We come to you each and every day from 2 to 4 p.m. here on Acadiana's number one sports station. We're 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. Masterfully stirring the drink for the next 2 hours is my producer extraordinaire, Clint Domain. We call him CD. He's in the master control suite in the 237 Roof Studios on the campus of KLWB and 103.7 The Game underneath the great umbrella of Delta Media. Yours truly, Studio 1A. You know how to get in touch with us. The phone number, 337-706-0111. You can follow us on Twitter at JHS1037. You can email me, askjordy@gmail.com. Askjordy@gmail.com. Coming up in the program today, it is amazing, as LSU, it seems like day after day after day, gets another commitment for the top-ranked 2020 class. This time, a linebacker from Virginia, Antoine Sampa. A little more than a month ago, the nation's number two middle linebacker made an unofficial visit to LSU. You think he was swayed at all by the performance of one Devin White? I believe he has. He's 6'2 and a half, 220 pounds. Amazing. The state's number two overall prospect out of Virginia with offers from Clemson and Alabama, just to name a few. LSU gets another commitment. It's absolutely amazing. And how fluid this thing is. Alabama landed a commitment from four-star linebacker Drew Sanders less than an hour prior to Sampa's commitment, which pushed the tide over the Tigers for the number one ranked class in the 247 sports team rankings. But Sampa's commitment jumped LSU back into the top spot with Alabama at number two and Clemson at number three. How about that? I have never before seen LSU go to the limits that they have gone. They've gone far west to California. They've gone to Virginia. They've gone to Maryland. They've gone to Washington, D.C. and they've got the number one ranked recruiting class in the country at this point in time. We'll talk with Billy Embody coming up in about 24 minutes, to talk about this this race that LSU is in and the job that they have done to this point in time. They've got the best recruit, wide receiver triumvirate in the country coming to LSU. If you could sign on the dotted line right here, right now. There's always still work to be done. And commitments are one thing. Signatures, faxes are a whole nother thing. But as of right here, right now, it is amazing what this staff has done. Billy Embody will recap it all and tell us where else this class is going and who are the Tigers going after. It seems like, again, day after day after day, another one. And it's as though the committed class is out recruiting other commitments, and they all want to play together to make something incredibly special. And that's when you've got an Alabama, the sustained success that they've had since Nick Saban took over. So kudos to Coach O, who says we are a national brand. And the fact that LSU has so many players of high visibility in the pros, whether it be a Devin White going fifth overall, or what you see with Odell Beckham Jr. being traded from New York to Cleveland. Every time you mention that, there's that LSU with it, with Jarvis Landry. You got Patrick Peterson and Tyrann Mathieu. All those players. Man, the young kids want to be that. So LSU has a firm hold on things as we speak. So we'll delve into that a little bit. We've got NBA playoffs tonight. And I cannot wait to see Game 2 between the Houston Rockets and the Golden State Warriors. It's a late tip, 9:30 our time. Golden State's favored by 5 at home, with them leading the series 1-0. This game is all about posturing. It's all about trying to get an edge, trying to get the officials on your side. And the NBA is going to have a problem here if they don't rectify this thing and get it straight really quickly. Houston, for 82 games of regular season, constantly got fouled at the three-point line. They go up for shots. They contour and move their body to initiate contact, and they get the foul. If you follow the NBA, the playoffs are different. They let them play. You got to basically mug somebody to get a foul call, and the Rockets are like complaining vociferously, well, wait a minute. We got those calls all during the regular season. Why aren't we getting them now? To the point that Chris Paul got not one but two technical fouls and was ejected at the end of the game, of game one. So cannot wait to watch that. It's preceded by game two of Boston and Milwaukee. I can tell you this. I'm not going to tell you who's going to win the game, but I promise you the Greek Freak is going to come out like a man possessed. He did not have an MVP-like performance in a game one loss at home. Boston has taken control of the series. If they win tonight and go up 2-0 and head back to Boston, this series over. Over. So Giannis is going to come out like a wild man tonight and look for him to try and put up big, big numbers, because that's what they need. That is exactly what they need. Last night we saw Denver take care of business against Portland. Nikola Jokic was just spectacular. And the Philadelphia 76ers took care of business as well, as their defense was outstanding against Toronto. And look, I don't know. Joel Embiid had an issue. Let's just call it like it is. He had diarrhea. And that definitely put a crimp in his playing style. Ben Simmons can't shoot. So Philadelphia goes to its third resource, Jimmy Butler. And Jimmy Butler was spectacular. So the point I'm trying to make here is this. Philadelphia's top two players really didn't play worth a plug nickel. Their third option helps Philadelphia win a playoff game on the road when Kawhi Leonard was spectacular for Toronto. But he has no help. And he's looking around going, well, wait a minute. Not only did Toronto lose the game, but in my opinion, they've lost Kawhi Leonard. He's not going to stay in Toronto. He's leaving to go play where he has some help and he can go try and win a championship. And that just may be with the LA Clippers or whomever. But that was a big storyline. So we've got that tonight with the referees in full flux. And then we have the Pelicans on the outside looking in, but trying to do the right things as an organization. And they, I must give David Griffin credit. He's trying to put together the best staff that he can. And what has been the big boogaboo about the Pelicans for years and years and years and years? They're always injured. They're never healthy. They always get key players hurt at the right time. If you ask around the league, what is the best training staff in the league? Everybody, without hesitation, says the Phoenix Suns. Well, David Griffin successfully pried Phoenix Suns head trainer Aaron Nelson away from Phoenix, an organization he's called home since 1993. Phoenix has worked wonders with NBA players in the past, from Shaq to Grant Hill to Steve Nash. So you pull him away from Phoenix? What a coup for New Orleans. What a message it sends to a variety. It sends a message to your team. It sends a message to free agents. It sends a message to Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis can make more money in New Orleans than anywhere else. They've got the best training staff in the league now to keep him healthy. And that's going to attract other free agents to come that way. What a great, great coup. Jared Dudley of the Brooklyn Nets played in Phoenix from 2009 to 2013 and again from 2016 to 2018 said, quote, wow. One of the best trainers in the NBA, has been with the Suns since the Barkley days, had a relationship with Griff with his Suns days as an assistant GM. Big win for New Orleans. That Phoenix training staff was featured in the 30 for 30 docuseries for the work they've done and the being ahead of the curve when it comes to sports injuries. And to get people, you know, the only ability that counts in sports is what? Availability. You got to be available. You got to get people out of the training room and onto the court. And that's exactly what the New Orleans Pelicans now have as they have gotten Aaron Nelson away from the Phoenix Suns. That is a major, major, major ordeal accomplished by David Griffin already. That sends a great, great message. All right, let me tell you what we have today. We've got Billy Embody coming on to talk about LSU recruiting at about 2:32 this afternoon. We'll have our Hot Topics segment to start off hour number two. Brody Miller on the health of the LSU Tiger baseball team. It, you know, look, it's been an up-and-down year. Lots of injuries, lots of good play, lots of not-so-good play, but they seem to be getting healthy at the right time. With 11 games left to go in the regular season, eight of which are at home. The only three on the road at Arkansas, who currently leads LSU by two games in the SEC West. So stay tuned. Brody Miller will talk about the health of this Tiger group. And what does Paul Maneri do on the weekend? And if Zach Hess is moving to the bullpen, what do you do there? Because you've already got two other guys who have been closers already. So what do you do? Plus, Andrew Lopez expands on the hiring of Aaron Nelson by the Pelicans away from Phoenix. Busy day. 17 minutes after the hour, we'll be back with more after this. You're listening to the Jordy Helfrich Show on Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Never play cards with a guy whose last name is Estate. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Helfrich Show. Live and local, 103.7 The Game.
Now this segment of the program brought to you ShopRite Tobacco Plus discount outlets, 59 of them in and around southern and central Louisiana. Boy, they've got everything you need, and they're so neat and so clean, and it's so diverse. Man, if you can't shop right at ShopRite, you really can't shop right at all. What a tremendous place. Check out the one in Doosan, for instance. Where do you see that place? It is magnificent. Magnificent. It is, it's worth just the ride over, just to walk around and see everything they have. It's not your typical convenience store. It's got everything and then some. And you combine it with Tobacco Plus, wow, you've got everything under the sun. It is fabulous. ShopRite, Tobacco Plus, discount outlets. Well, all the spring games are over, and you're seeing reports left and right, and CBS Sports, my good friend Dennis Dodd, tried to get him on the program today, but he had a family commitment. But Dennis Dodd came up with his post-spring college football top 25 rankings. You know, you can watch all the games on television now with their respective networks. You can see the changes. You can see the new coaches, new players. And granted, these spring games are played completely close to the vest. But you can still see athletes. You can still see talent. And not much change at the top. Clemson's number one with Trevor Lawrence, who's probably good enough to play in the NFL right here, right now. And, you know, do you ever see college football going the way of the NFL? If you're ready to go, fight for it and go and buck the system and try and get it changed to your favor. Anyway, Clemson's number one. Alabama's number two, Georgia at number three, Oklahoma at number four, and LSU at number five. So three SEC teams in the top five with LSU at number five. And Dennis Dodd says Ed Orgeron seemingly has everything in place to make a run at the SEC West. No Devin White, but quarterback Joe Burrow has his top five receivers back. And look, I am not trying to tell you that I think Joe Burrow will make an NFL team. He's not going to be a starter, but I think he will make an NFL team. I think he's better than Danny Etling. And Danny Etling spent a year with the New England Patriots, and we'll see if he survives another year there. But the fact that Joe Burrow is back, and you bring in and look, Joe Burrow came in over the summertime. He just had fall practice. Now he's got a whole year under his belt. He went through spring ball. That position is solidified. He's not going to be the greatest player, but why can't he be like an A.J. McCarron? Why can't he be that player where he's not the superstar of the team, but when you need to make a play down the stretch and the game's on the line, you know he's salty enough, he's cool, calm, and collected enough to make the play. I haven't felt this good about a quarterback at LSU in a long, long time. He's tough. He's heady. He's got a good football IQ. And he's been through the wars. And LSU won 10 games with him last year with the supporting cast around him. Now you bring in this new New Orleans Saints type of offense where they know that the franchise is Drew Brees and they get it out of his hands quickly so he's not hit and they give it to playmakers. LSU has always had playmakers, always. Just didn't have anybody to get it to them or the right concept to get those people open in space so that you could get the ball to them. Nobody draws up better plays than Sean Payton. Nobody. And now Joe Brady comes with the playbook. I am more excited about this LSU football team. The schedule's much more favorable than it was a year ago. Yes, you have to go to Texas. Okay, that's fine. And yes, you have to go to Tuscaloosa. LSU plays better at Alabama than they play Alabama in Baton Rouge. So there's a chance to be really, really good. So many things have to come into play. Caleb Von Chason has to become that person again. That high draft pick. Grant Delpit has to continue to improve. Christian Fulton has to continue to improve. Derek Stingley Jr. has to be that and then some. The offensive line has to get unified and tougher and stronger and with more depth. And you got to find some plug-and-play defensive linemen. I'm not worried about linebackers at all. LSU has athletes. I'm not worried about wide receivers now. I think they've got the talent. Now you just got to get the right coach, which I think they've got, to best utilize their talents. I'm not worried about running backs. LSU always has a running back. They may not have a Fournette or a Geis or a Charlie Alexander or Kevin Falk. They may not have that stud, but I think they'll have enough where they'll be able to run it and run it effectively. I'm really excited about this football team. I think this was a year they've always been targeting. The key is that Joe Burrow is back. He made great improvement through the course of the season. We knew he was hurt. They couldn't run him. That's such a valuable part of what he does. I know they're working on the accuracy aspect of things, but accuracy is about, instead of throwing the ball 30 yards down the field, it's about throwing it 5 yards down the field and letting the receiver run for 25 or 30 more yards after that, or the running back. It's all about concept, game planning, formations. And you got the right guy calling the plays, and you got the right guy executing the plays, a veteran, senior quarterback. I'm excited about that. And help is on the way because the recruiting is unprecedented. We'll talk about that with Billy Embody of Go247 Sports next.
The Blonde Bomber is back and better than ever as you are locked into the Jordy Hultberg Show on 1037 The Game, 1037thegame.com, and on the app.
Hey, welcome back. As we said earlier in the program, it seems like every day that passes by, the LSU football recruiting class of 2020 gets bigger and better across the way, ranked number one in the country, according to 247 Sports team rankings. And they just got another commit from another state, not known as Louisiana. So Billy Embody, our expert of Go247 Sports, kind enough to join us. Billy, thanks for the time, my friend. I mean, I know that's an exaggeration, but it does seem like every day or every other day, Ed Ogeron and his staff strikes again. It's been kind of remarkable to date.
Yeah, they've been doing a really outstanding job, especially out of state, with 11 of the 14 commitments now on board, hailing from outside the state of Louisiana. And Ed Ogeron talked about it today on the radio. It's a credit to LSU's brand that they really built up, and especially with a lot of these kids early on in the recruiting process, getting on board with LSU, like Elias Ricks, like TJ Finley, and guys like that. They deserve a lot of the credit for putting this class together. They've done an outstanding job helping this coaching staff recruit.
The latest commitment is a middle linebacker from Virginia. I've got to believe the fact that Devin White went fifth overall as a middle linebacker in Dave Aranda's system certainly swayed Antoine Sampa to come. Tell me about the newest commitment.
Well, he's the number two inside linebacker in the country and one that Dave Aranda's been working on for the better part of 2.5 years since he's really been at LSU, somebody that is kind of in – Dave Aranda's, I would call, area. He kind of recruits up along the East Coast a lot for LSU and goes out, you know, nationally overall, but really does a nice job on the East Coast. And this is somebody that he's been working and working and working, and he saw him on Monday, and that was kind of when later that night he got the call from Sampa, who said he was going to commit. He's an inside linebacker all the way. He's physical. He's, you know, quick to diagnose plays, and really, you know, sometimes with inside linebackers or guys you're projecting to play inside linebacker, you don't necessarily know how well they work in all the traffic and all the mess in there, and he does really well with that. So this is somebody that paired with Josh White on the inside, who they got a commitment from just a couple weeks back. They feel really good about it and really confident that he can be big for them in the middle there.
I read your report, and it said LSU beat out the likes of Clemson and Alabama. That's all I need to know. This kid can play. That's all I need to know.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, there were two crystal ball picks in for Clemson, and a lot of people thought he was going to go there. And lo and behold, he comes on down to LSU, and we'll see if he sticks. You know, it's going to be a battle to the end. But he's somebody that visited LSU about a month ago, and our Brian Doan, who covers the East Coast for us especially, really, really well, had a report after that visit. And he said it on our board. He said, look, this is somebody that really has been blown away by this visit. It kind of changes opinion on LSU and just kind of how seriously he was taking them into the recruiting process. And so, this is a mega land and a legit land over some of the other, you know, best programs in the country.
He's a big kid with a big frame. He's going to put some more weight on. But according to reports, is this LSU's fifth top 40 player in the class so far? That's unbelievable.
Yeah, they have, I believe it is five. They've got Elias Ricks, Rakeem Jarrett, Antoine Sampa, Jermaine Burton, and Kayshawn Boutte, all in the top 40 on the 24/7 Sports composite, which is really, really impressive. All top eight in terms of their position in the country. It's kind of silly when you look at Elias Ricks on the composite, though. ESPN just released their new rankings, which kind of affect the composite, but they don't have him as their number one corner, and I don't know what they're really looking at. He's by far and away the best corner on junior tape in the country, and somebody who's a top 10 prospect. And really, I mean, Derek Stingley, everybody talked about how legit he is. This is one that's right up there too with him. I don't know if his film necessarily will match it in terms of flash, just because of the high level of competition he played out at modern day. But he's the number one corner in the country and a legit day one type starter guy. So really a really impressive haul so far for LSU.
Billy Embody, go to 247 Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at Billy Embody. I'm just curious. You study this. You follow this. LSU's gone out to California. They've gone to Washington, D.C., Maryland, Virginia. Why all of a sudden is LSU having the success that they're having? Is it a compilation of a lot of things? Are these high school kids recruiting one another? Is it all of a sudden this staff is just blowing people away? What is it that this is unprecedented? In all the years I've been around, never have I seen this type of recruiting effort go the way they are at this point in time.
Yeah, it's really been a few things. I would start by saying that, you know, Louisiana, I would say in terms of top end guys that LSU's going after, is probably a little down this year. In terms of legit guys that LSU feels like can really, really help them get it done. So they've had to go outside of the state and do this. But LSU's really done a good job of working a lot of connections that Orgeron has throughout the years, recruiting nationally at USC. I mean, everybody talks about Ed Orgeron's ties to Louisiana and being from Louisiana and all that, but he's recruited nationally very well for many, many years, and we're starting to see that kind of all coming together.
Amazing. They've got three highly heralded wide receivers. That tells me one thing, that this offense is going to change, as we have been told, but it's finally going to happen. and the passing game is really going to come into play. I mean, you've got Jarrett Burton and New Iberia star Kayshon Boutte. How do they do it? How does LSU continue to get these wide receivers?
I think it really does go back to having guys like Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry, in the NFL and doing what they're doing. Uh-huh. That's really, that's the thing. These kids see LSU's wide receivers coming out of here and being able to perform at the next level, and that's because they go up against the best corners every day. That goes to just the history of what they've been able to do. It's really that's kind of it. And then you add in the new offense and Joe Brady working with the Saints. I mean, that's really kind of how they've been able to do it.
Right. Yeah, Billy Embody, go 247 Sports. So and that's all fine and dandy, and LSU always seems to have skill position people. We know, and we've talked about this numerous times, about the offensive line and defensive line. LSU brought in five offensive linemen in the 2019 class. They still need more, though, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. You always need to land quality offensive linemen, and I think that's something, for the most part, they've done so far. They've got Cortland Ford out of Cedar Hill, who's kind of a legit right tackle type of lineman who could potentially play left, but I see him on the right side. And then you've got guys like Cameron Jackson, who's pretty much built to be an offensive tackle, and one that he's played a little defense, he's played a little offense. I could see him going over to the offensive side of the ball at the next level. And then they've got some quality guys they had on campus, like Marlon Martinez recently. They're going to get guys like Marcus Dumerville, I think, back on campus again, and Isaiah Walker, who's committed to South Carolina, is another one to watch. So it's and then in New Orleans, you've got Cedric Van Praan, who's out there as well. So they've got some options out there, and I think you're going to see some of those dominoes start to fall here in the early going in summer.
Billy, the defensive line, you lost Ishmael Sopcher and Byron Young and Charles Moore from a year ago. They've got two defensive tackles committed. That's another area that I'm sure that Ed Orgeron wants to battle. And I know there's the kid right in their backyard who was committed, then decommitted, Jacqueline Rohr. What are you hearing about him?
Yeah, I'm actually going to go see him out on Friday and go check out his practice. He's at Baton Rouge U High, a top 100 overall prospect, and somebody that's got the likes of Alabama and the likes of Clemson and Georgia and all those programs after him hard. DeQuellen's one of those guys that's going to be, a battle to the end, I think. I mean, it sounds like he's going to take it to December. I would think he's going to try to make a decision by then rather than take it all the way to February, but that's just me. We'll see what he says, but he just released his top 10 and included LSU along with plenty of other top programs in there as well.
I hate to be redundant, but I always, and this is all great. You've got really the number one recruiting class at this point in time. There's a long way to go before that early signing period comes about. You're spread out all over the country. And Ed Orgeron said many times, once you get a commitment, then the work really begins because everybody comes after you. Oh, you got a scholarship offer to LSU, and you're committed to them, and we got to play them? We want you. And that's when Nick Saban comes in, and that's when Kirby Smart comes in, and that's when Dabo Sweeney comes in. How confident are you that you're going to be able to harness these kids from all over the country to come down to Baton Rouge when it counts?
I think a lot more of them are solid than people think. I really do. Again, it goes back to those connections with Ed Orgeron and not just the prospects, but the families, the people around the families. Jermaine Burton is, one, for example, that when he committed, people said, oh, that one's going to be a tough one. Well, I talked to his mom, and his mom said, look, he is done with visits. He is not going to take any more visits. Now, we'll see if that changes, but that's just one of the examples. A lot of these kids say, look, I'm not going to take visits. I'm recruiting for LSU. I mean, Antoine Sampo immediately reached out to some of his friends that are highly touted prospects. And Jermaine Burton was popping off about Rakeem Jarrett joining the class. He was excited about it. So all these guys, as they continue to, form relationships and get together, it just kind of helps them, be a little bit stronger in their bond.
Billy Embody, go 247 Sports. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you again. Will Wade's name popped up yesterday in that federal trial with the ex-Arizona assistant coach. Haven't heard much about LSU basketball recruiting. I would imagine anytime your name pops up like that, there's got to be people that go, oh, wait a minute, I don't know about this right now. What are you hearing from the basketball front about recruiting?
A lot of positivity on how they're going to finish out this class, to be honest. I really like where they stand with Trendon Watford, who's the five-star power forward. That would be, I mean, even if they just ended up with him, you know, and then kind of filled out the class with transfers, that'd be huge. Obviously, the front court's going to look very different next year, but to add somebody like Trendon to the mix is a difference maker right away. I like what they're doing with Kadeem Sy, who's a junior college big man, a true rim protector that would step in right away and start. They're going to host him on an official visit this weekend, or shortly right after. It'll be this weekend that he'll be in. So I think they're battling really there with LSU and Ole Miss. Don't count Arkansas out. Eric Musselman has done a really good job of recruiting junior college guys throughout his time. So he's going to be in the mix, and they might get the last official visit. We'll see if he actually ends up taking it. But Kadeem Sy, you know, is one that – certainly they need, especially in terms of need right now, to come in right away and play. And then we'll see what happens with Lester Quiones. He's done with his official visits. It sounds like he canceled his Michigan one. That just wasn't ending up fitting right for him from what I've heard. I think it's LSU, Memphis, and then outside shot with Indiana. So,
interesting.
Again, all of those, there's those three are really the big ones right now, and we'll see kind of how things go.
We'll end on this note. Give me a gone or coming back. Let's see. Emmett Williams, you think he is gone or you think he comes back to LSU?
Coming back.
Okay. Skylar Mays.
Coming back.
I agree with you. Who else? Who else? I'm forgetting names now.
Javonte Smart.
Javonte Smart, thank you.
I'll go with coming back.
And me then too.
Marlon, and then
coming
Marlon
back.
Taylor. Marlon Taylor definitely coming back.
I'm with you. I think they lose Tremont, and I think they lose Naz. And I'm not so sure how much. I think Tremont's on the borderline. I really do. I really, truly do. Of coming back.
I think he's gone. He's been up in Connecticut working out and doing all those things. But I'd be pretty shocked if he came back.
All right. You never know. When you get the word, you never know. We'll see. All right. Well, could be a heck of a basketball team yet again when things settle down. As always, you're the best, Billy. Thank you so much for your knowledge. And our audience and I greatly appreciate, buddy. Take care.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
All right, buddy. You're right. Billy Embody, go to 4-7 Sports. I agree. Williams and Marlon Taylor and Javonte Smart. Coming back. Coming back. And Skylar Mays coming back. The nucleus is there. And they get a couple of those other recruits. They're in the same mix as they were a year ago. If we can just get this dadgum trial and all that stuff settled in and get it over with, and let's move onward. Let's move onward. We'll see. We will see. 49 minutes after the hour. This is the Jordy Hultberg Show, brought to you by Hooters. Hooters just makes you happy. Go watch the NBA playoff games, your favorite baseball game at Hooters. They've got it all, plus great food, plus great sights, plus a lot of fun for everyone. Hooters on Ambassador Caffrey Parkway. Renovated, improved, better than ever. Just waiting on you. Hooters just makes you happy. We're back to wrap up hour number one next.
There's only one place you'll find all of the movers, the shakers, and Tigers newsmakers. And it's right here on the Jordy Hultberg Show on 103.7 The Game.
Mm-hmm. And welcome back. It's quite a run. This is the sport of the mind. James Holzhauer had his 18th appearance in his historic run on Jeopardy, and it came down to $18. The Vegas bettor survived his biggest sweat on the show to this point. He held off Adam Levine of Ashland, Massachusetts, in a tight match that came down to Final Jeopardy in yesterday's episode. Yes, the Final Jeopardy. Holzhauer is 35 years old. He finished with $54,017, just ahead of Levin, who racked up $53,999. According to they even had their own .com, the JeopardyFan.com. According to that, it was the highest non-winning total in show history. So this 34-year-old kid, Holzhauer, extended his streak and pushed his winning total to $1,329,604. He trails Ken Jennings, who had a 74-game win streak back in 2004. Jennings won more than $2.5 million. That took him 74 games. If Holzhauer continues at its current pace, he'll surpass Jennings in 34 games. That's unbelievable. That's unbelievable. And he has hit 17 of 18 Final Jeopardy attempts. That's unreal, huh? How smart can you be? How smart can you be? Here was the question. The oldest of these business booster groups, formed in Marseille in 1599, uses DE instead of OF in the name. And both competitors wrote the Chamber of Commerce. How do you know that stuff? That's just unbelievable. So the beat goes on for Mr. Holzhauer, who has won 18 consecutive matches and is on the roll. Isn't that amazing? Absolutely amazing. Nothing like NHL hockey. We got playoff games tonight. We've got NBA playoff games tonight. Boston, Milwaukee, Houston, Golden State. My St. Louis Cardinals are playing the Washington Nationals. Cardinals are 18-10. Don't sleep on them. Don't sleep on them just yet. Astros are 17-12, and Minnesota leading their division at 17-9. So early on, some really good baseball being played. A one-zip shutout, the Twinnies, over Justin Verlander and the Astros last night. So game two tonight. Coming up in hour number two of the program, we always start off the hour with hot topics. Clint picks out whatever he thinks is hot, and we talk about that. Then we'll have Brody Miller talking LSU baseball. It's been a strange year. We only have 11 games left in the regular season, and they're still twinking and twittering with the lineup. Got to get some players healthy, and I think they are at the right time. We'll talk about that. And then Andrew Lopez will join us talking about the New Orleans Pelicans. We always close things out with some birthday wishes and on this day in sports history. Hour number one, history. We'll try and make hour number two even better next.
Live from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
Tigers pulled off another miracle.
This is Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
Touchdown, New Orleans!
Streaming live on the 103.7 The Game mobile app and online at 1037thegame.com.
He struck him out, and the Tigers have won!
This is the Jordy Hultberg Show. Get involved and call 337-706-0111. Follow along at 1037 The Game on Facebook and Twitter. And now it's time. Here's your host, Jordy Hultberg.
All right, welcome. How are you? Tuesday, April 30th, the year 2019, hour number two, and away we go. Thank you so much for joining us. If you missed hour number one, you missed a big talk on LSU football recruiting with Billy Embody of Go247 Sports, the number one ranked class in the country. Just got another top inside linebacker. It's an amazing job that that football staff has done to this point in time. We've got a lot to talk about in this hour with LSU baseball and the Pelicans making a big splash and a big hire as well. So let's get right into it. As we do each and every day at this time of day, we take our daily walk around the Sports Water Cooler CD. Hit that button, please.
Here's today's Hot Topics, brought to you by Cajun Chef. Spice up your life with Cajun Chef products. Delectably delicious, decidedly better.
Over under CD, welcome aboard on technical fouls in tonight's Houston Golden State game. What's the over under?
I don't know yet, Jordy, but I think I'm going to pound the over on that one.
That's right. I'm going to say the margin is 3, and I'm going over as well. So here we go. What's up today, my friend?
Jordy, quite a bit when you really think about it. It seems like it's kind of a slower day than normal, but trust me, there's still a lot to talk about.
All right.
Of course, I think one of the things that I noticed today is Greg Popovich. He signed a 3-year extension with the San Antonio Spurs, which was kind of a surprise. But what's more surprising, Jordy, Greg Popovich signing that extension or your boy Vince Carter coming back for his 22nd season?
It's got to be Vince Carter. I mean, Pop can coach. He's got good assistants. You know, he's got the thing. He's going to come for his 24th season. But Vince Carter putting up numbers, playing steady minutes, it's unbelievable. I think this is his last year. I think they ought to get him back into the slam dunk contest one last time. I think that'd be great. What a way to send him off. It's amazing. So both have lasted the test of time, but the fact that Vince Carter's still playing, that's remarkable. It is.
Give me the directions towards Vince Carter's Mountain of Youth, Jordy. I would love to have that, because the guy, he's well past the age of 40, correct, Jordy?
Absolutely.
And he is just still playing at a high level enough to be able to play in the NBA. He's not going to join the big three as far as we can tell.
Exactly. But he's still playing. He's putting up numbers, and somebody wants to pay him good money to take up a roster spot. So good for him.
And Jordy, you know, we got to talk a little bit about, you talked with Billy Embody earlier in the show, but I want to get your take on the 2020 recruiting class for LSU right now, ranked number one. It's only almost May. Tomorrow's going to be May. But the question I have to ask you, Jordy, is can they sustain that to be able to keep that number one ranking well into the months of October, November? Because that's when things get hot and heavy, especially with the early signing period.
That's a great question that I really can't tell you. I mean, look, Billy Embody said this class is as committed as any he's seen. So very strong in their commitment. So that's, you know, always worry when you're going north, south, east, and west. It's a long way from home. And at the 23rd hour, mom says, I'm going to miss you and I want to come see you play. So stay close to home. So you never know. You never know. But it's remarkable. I've never seen anything like it to this point in time with the quality of players that they're getting nationally recognized from north, south, east, and west. It's kind of remarkable. So we'll see. But so far, so good. And look, the last pickup, when you're having scholarship offers from Clemson, Alabama, and you get them, that's all I need to know.
It makes you wonder, Jordy, considering, I mean, I know you want to kind of hear in what Freddie Kitchens said during the NFL draft. Maybe he's going to wind up eating those words before long, Jordy, him saying that if you ever played a little bit better, you would have played for Alabama.
Yeah, if they played a little better in high school, they could come to Alabama. Well, thanks a lot, Fred. We'll see. The rivalry just got kicked up a notch. But I'm sure Odell and Jarvis and Greedy will tell him their feelings about that. Because, that was a shot across the bow there. Absolutely.
Off the top rope right there from Kitchens. Definitely a surprise considering the fact, like, you were just getting, like, all of this kind of, like, goodwill towards the entire state of Louisiana. And then you go and do that. It's like, it was almost vintage
cocky.
Browns.
Cocky. Oh, my God.
But don't you love that from referring to your head coach? Yeah. It's definitely reminiscent of a Sean Payton.
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. Go for it.
I can't wait. And then, Jordy, of course, we got to talk about the Pels and what they did getting what I think is a slam dunk hire. That's huge to get a guy like that, a high-quality trainer. It's an 82-game, like, stretch, and it feels like the Pels have never been able to get everybody ready and play for a full, at least like 70 of the 82 games.
You're right, and it's always key players that get hurt for long stretches of runs that knock the Pelicans out of a playoff contention, or if they're fortunate enough, of a higher seed. It happens year in, year out. This guy's the best in the business. Aaron Nelson, he's been that way forever and a day. You talk to players around the league, they know, and that's the best. And for them, for the Pels and David Griffin to get him away from Phoenix, that is a major coup, and it sends a great message to players across the league that the Pels are in business and they're serious about it. Because players, what do they want? They want longevity so they can keep getting to that next contract and the next contract. And nobody does it better than the Phoenix Sun staff, which is coming over to the Pelicans. It's a great pickup.
It's a huge get, Jordy. And, you know, we can wind up talking about the NFL draft till we're blue in the face. I'm probably still going to wind up doing it as the week progresses. But I wind up getting your thoughts on this, Jordy, because, of course, I think one of the bigger controversies had to have been the New York Giants picking Daniel Jones out of Duke at the sixth spot. And definitely, of course, all the talk is going to be about him potentially being the successor to Eli Manning's throne, which definitely I don't think anybody wants right now, considering how crappy that offensive line has been. But my question to you, Jordy, is this. Who's going to wind up starting during their rookie contract? You have a guy like Daniel Jones out of Duke with the New York Giants, or maybe Will Greer out of West Virginia by way of the Florida Gators for the Carolina Panthers?
I don't think either one's going to start. Nobody's going to unseat Cam Newton unless he's hurt. And
I think
Gettleman,
that's
the
something
GM,
you got to look at.
Yeah, unless he's hurt. And we'll see. And Gettleman has made it been known perfectly that Eli Manning is his guy. So I know who's going to start. Kyler Murray's going to start.
Yes.
I know that.
No doubt.
That's the only one I can tell you that's going to start. And I got to believe that, I mean, Josh Rosen's got to be able to beat out Fitzpatrick, right? Got to.
He's got, especially
got
since
to.
Like Fitzpatrick's gotten like really, really fat. He's eating a little too many chocolate cakes during the offseason.
Unbelievable. So I don't think either one of those, Jones or Greer, is going to start, but I know Kyler Murray is.
He better.
We'll see how fun he is.
I think he's going to wind up being a hell of a hand, because you got to think, like especially Rosen. Rosen's got to be playing like with a big chip in his shoulder, and that's definitely more than enough motivation to get him over the hump.
Don't you think he handled his exit out of Arizona like unbelievably well? The Instagram thing that he posted, whatever you call that stuff.
Yeah,
I thought he was as mature and as
he handled it really
and
well.
As good as could be. I mean, I hope that guy has great success. Not bad playing in Miami. It's
oh no,
good, not some, bad.
Yeah, it's gonna be pretty good for him in Miami. Good fit.
I agree. All right, there we have it. Well done, CD.
Thank you.
There's your Hot Topics for the day, brought to you by the best hot sauce on the planet every day, Cajun Chef, right there in St. Martinville, the Biard family for nearly 90 years, putting out the same great products day in and day out because they love what they do and they care about you. Do yourself a flavor. Bring a little small bottle of Cajun Chef wherever you go, because everything tastes better with Cajun Chef on it. The latest on LSU baseball next.
The hottest topics and dousing them in gasoline. It's the Jordy Hultberg Show on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
All right, we're back. Let's talk a little LSU baseball with the man that covers them daily. He's always busy. He's here, there, and everywhere. That's Brody Miller. NOLA.com, the Times-Picayune. Been a weird year, Brody, of lots of injuries and up and down play, but it appears that help is on the way. It looks like this team's getting healthy at the right time. Thanks for the time, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing, Jordy?
I'm doing terrific, man. Is that the case? They're getting, seems to be, according to Palmieri's latest session with you guys, that health is on the way.
Yeah, it definitely seems like it. I mean, I'm going to – last time I thought – I was preparing to write a story last weekend about how healthy this team was getting, and then all of a sudden they surprised us with Cole Henry being out for the weekend. So whenever you think it's getting healthy, something might happen. But for now, I mean, every single position player is healthy, which is the first time that's happened since – shoot, probably mid to late February. And then, yeah, the pitching staff obviously is still going to have a few arms out, and that's not going to change. But it looks like Cole Henry's feeling better every day. They're pretty optimistic he'll be ready to go. And then, you know, the other big one they're waiting on is, of course, Jaden Hill, who, you know, it's kind of one of those things where you've been operating without him so long that if you ever get him back, it's a luxury anyway. So, I mean, there's no timetable yet. He's been throwing. He was throwing at a pretty long distance, from what we understand on Sunday. I think if he does come back, it would be, you know, maybe SEC tournament, maybe the regional, something like that. And they wouldn't put a ton of pressure on him, but if you could have Jaden Hill come back as a power arm in the seventh, eighth inning, throwing, you know, 94, 95 with great stuff, that's, you're definitely not going to turn that down. So things are definitely on the looking optimistic for LSU's health right now.
Brady Miller, NOLA.com, the Times-Picayune there. 11 games to go in the season. 8 of them are at home. You're LSU's two games back of Arkansas in the West. They do have to go to Arkansas next week. So every game, very, very critical. And that leads me to the thought process of what do they do with a Cole Henry? Do they bring him in and pitch a couple of innings this weekend, or do they move him as Palmieri had planned and put him at the Friday starter and send Zach Hess to the bullpen? I guess that's the big wait to find out and see scenario this weekend.
Absolutely. And, you know, I do wonder. I wonder if – now, we've kind of avoided asking directly about it until we know Cole Henry is ready to go. But, you know, I think there's one scenario where, yeah, if he's feeling good, I mean, it's not like this was some serious injury that held him out for a while. Maybe you go ahead and move him up to Friday. But I kind of, my gut, and it's just me speculating, but my gut is that, you know, maybe they say, okay, let's give it one more week until we, like, let's make sure Cole Henry's good. So maybe you go back to that same old starting rotation for one more week of Hess, Henry, and Walker, make sure everyone's good, and then if you feel good about it. Because you also probably want to see Landon Marceau show what he can do for at least one more week, because it's still a small sample size with him. So, I mean, that's just kind of my 2 cents. I think maybe you go one more week of this rotation, and then those final 2 weekends of the year, you try out that new rotation of, you know, Henry, Walker, and Marceau with Hess out of the bullpen. But it'll be really interesting to follow what they do.
I really can't recall having so many question marks still this late in the season, not only from your pitching standpoint because of injuries, but your starting lineup as well, back and forth. You know, you're not aggressive on a Friday night. You move the lineup around. You get some other kids in there, and now you go with that. So this is seems like uncharted territory to me for Palmieri.
No, you're definitely right about that. There's definitely a little bit of, you know, unknown still going on there. But I guess my only counterpoint, even though I do fully agree with you, my only devil's advocate would be, you know, they're finally healthy, so they finally, for the first time pretty much in months, yeah, he has options to play with. So, you know, it's like, you know, because I guess the counter would be for about a month and a half, they didn't mix things up too much. That's because they couldn't. Now it's, hey, I can maybe, if Chris Reed's not having a good day, let's go to Drew Bianco. If, you know, if this guy's off today, let's go with TJ Willis at DH, or let's go with Giovanni DiGiacomo if Watson's a little banged up. They have options right now. And granted, I'm not denying that they would much rather have a firm, you know, what's what lineup right now, of course.
Right.
Pulmonary would love that down the stretch. But I guess if you're playing devil's advocate, it's good they finally have pieces to play with.
Has Marceau done enough? I mean, he threw 3 shutout innings Tuesday against Lamar. Then on Sunday, he got the win. He allowed 2 runs in 5 innings against Alabama. Does that warrant enough to maybe put him in? Is the ideal rotation Henry, Walker, Marceau in their mind? What do you think, when everybody's healthy, what do you think is the best group?
Yeah, that's what it seems like. He's not going to come out and say that yet, because I think he's scared that if he says a certain thing, it's going to blow up in his face if it doesn't. But it definitely seems like that's what they're alluding to, you know? Because it was honestly shocking that he told us that plan about Hess, because why would you tell us that if he's hurt? Like, tell us that a week later. You're setting yourself up here. But so we asked him after the interviews were over, kind of just off the, you know, just kind of casually, just, hey, like, so if he was available,
who would the third starter have been? And he said, okay, I would like to see how Landon looks for one more week, but if Landon looks good, maybe him. And then the other name he mentioned was Todd Peterson, which I found really interesting. So I guess in that scenario, you'd be going with a full bullpen game, which is not ideal. But so I think out of all your options, I feel pretty confident Landon Marceau is your best one. But to answer your original question, has he done enough? Of course not. I mean, I guess you definitely got to see at least one more week out of it because so far we've seen him pitch 8 innings since he's apparently been healthy, and he looks pretty good, and that's clear. But I don't know if he's quite done enough. But he's. I think the most telling thing of what you saw this weekend was what's the main reason he lost his job 2 months ago? He got really flustered on the road at Texas. Yeah. Alabama's not the environment of Texas, but he got in a tough situation 2 innings in a row, and he bounced back and battled through on the road. So that's probably the most important thing because you know he's a good pitcher.
Brody Miller, NOLA.com, The Times-Picayune. Let's say that Henry's able to pitch and you go with Henry and you move Zach Hess to the bullpen. What role does he play? Now you've got Peterson, you've got Devin Fontenot, and you've got Zach Hess. Now what does Paul Maneri and Alan Dunn do with that triumvirate?
Now that is a really fun one. And that's one that, because, 3 months ago it was pretty clear, right? Todd Peterson's your closer. Then he struggled. Then all of a sudden, while he was struggling, it was right when Devin Fontenot was catching fire. So all of a sudden, then we talked ourselves into Devin Fontenot as the closer. And now Devin Fontenot, who I'm not denying, is regardless, had a great year. But he's just kind of, up and down a bit. He's a human being. And so none of these guys have really proven yet, I am just the guy you can trust in the eighth and ninth inning when the game's on the line.
Correct.
Yes, exactly. So now you ask yourself, do you love the idea of Hess being that guy? Counterpoint, it's pretty valuable to have a guy like Hess who can throw 100 pitches in a game, maybe being that, that high leverage inning, long relief guy if you need him to. I think you have a lot of options to play with because at the end of the day, Peterson, Fontenot, and Hess have all proven in many different times in their careers they can come out of the bullpen and go long distances. Peterson's had a 5-inning game this year. Fontenot's had a 50-60 pitch game this year, and obviously Hess is a starter. So you have a lot of flexibility and fun pieces to play with there of who can be your long relief guy, or maybe it's just a matchup thing. Maybe it's just, hey, this guy's a better fit against this scenario. It's one of those things I don't know the answer to, but I'm really interested to see how they play.
Me too. I mean, that's you got to juggle a lot of things and a lot of egos involved with that as well. But Paul Maneri came out on day one, first press conference. Zach Hess is our Friday starter for the year. Come hell or high water, that's the way it's going to be. Now here we are toward the end of April when he made the announcement. What was the straw that broke the camel's back from that prophetic statement in the beginning of the year?
I'm trying to get an answer to that question myself because the funny thing about this is you're floating this big change at a time when it's not like you have an obvious third starter. I mean, obviously Marceau looked good, but at the time he announced this, they had no idea who the third starter would be. So when you think of, I guess you could look at that two ways. You could look at it as one, if you're going to make that move, you want to make it now so that you're clicking for by the time postseason gets going. But or maybe it's the bullpen is what sparked it. Maybe it's the up and downness of Peterson and Fontenot. They decided, hey, I'd rather really make sure that bullpen's figured out right now. Maybe it's that. Or maybe it's he realizes I'm starting to get all these arms healthy. We might get Hill back. We might, Marceau's coming back. Maybe it's, hey, you have all these available arms. How can you put each guy in the best situation possible? But then here's the last thing I'd say, and it's a really interesting wrinkle here, and I don't know how honest this is, but Zach Hess was on the ESPN broadcast on Saturday after he pitched, and he basically said, which is the opposite of what we've heard for about a year and a half now, is that, he loves being out of the bullpen, and he thinks he's more effective. He thinks he's more athletic there, can do more things, and, he was just starting because that's what the team needed. And it's possible that's true, but that means he wasn't telling the truth in one of these two scenarios. So I don't know the answer, so I'm sorry. It's a terrible, long-winded answer, but I'm really curious what broke that, like you said, the straw.
I am not a baseball purist in any way, shape, or form, but I can tell something, and I can tell you Zach Hess is going to make his money in Major League Baseball coming out of the bullpen. He is not an everyday starter, and I said that after his freshman season, and I understand a player of need, but I'm telling you, this kid just wants to rear back and throw at 100 miles an hour and have to get 3 outs. That's all he wants to do. and that's where he's going to make his money. He's not nearly as effective when he has to throw at 92 miles an hour because he's got to pitch seven innings. And so, you know, you live and you learn. We'll see. We'll see what happens. That's just my nickel's worth. But I know this, never say forever, and never say Omaha when you're an LSU baseball player. Now Palmieri knows never to say sweep ever again, right? Ever.
Yes, he does. And you know, one last thing on the Hess thing I wanted to say is that, yeah, so I can understand why he might have been like, hey, we need Hess to be the starter to begin the season because, you know, you knew three of your best pitchers were going to be freshmen, but you had to see who gets developed. And, you know, maybe you want Hess those first 2 months to have a veteran presence on a Friday so that, you know, by the time these guys are ready, they're experienced and you can transition. But I think that might have been why, but then why say declaratively he's going to be it all year? So that's the hard part. But
we shall see.
You're saying. Yeah. But yes, Palmieri did learn not to use the S word. It's funny. He's gotten mad at me before for using the sweep word. And he apparently used it, which is really funny. But he learned the hard way there because, if anything, he was joking after losing game one. He's like, now I got to worry about not getting swept. Yeah. So
all right.
He learned his lesson.
You don't have to take final exams. You're done. They do. Just a weekend series, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Ole Miss comes to town. And we'll be looking forward to your reports from the box and Twitter and all that stuff, at Brody Miller. He's a great follow. Thank you for your time, my friend. I greatly appreciate it. And we'll see. I got to believe Hess is going back to the bullpen. And I got to believe it's Henry. I got to believe it's Walker. And I'm going to stick Marceau in there until Jaden Hill gets better. And then we'll see what happens. But time will tell. Thank you, my friend.
Good talk. See you there. Bye.
All right, buddy. You take care. That's Brody Miller, NOLA.com, the Times-Picayune. Andrew Lopez will join us next. Pelicans got a major, major hire. The league is talking good things about the Pelicans next.
Never play cards with a guy whose last name is a state. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Hultberg Show. Live and local. 103.7 The Game.
And we welcome you back. Eight teams left in the NBA playoffs as we're down to the semifinals in each conference, the Eastern and the Western Conference. Meanwhile, all the other teams are enjoying the off season, but that doesn't mean the teams sleep, and the New Orleans Pelicans certainly aren't one, and they are trying to, under David Griffin, reshape their model, reshape their franchise. And to me, they just picked up the equivalent of a Kevin Durant in free agency to their staff. Let's see if our good friend Andrew Lopez of NOLA.com, the Times-Picayune, shares the same sentiment. Andrew, good afternoon, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, man. And you're absolutely right. Pick up Aaron Nelson is a huge get.
Let's let people know. Let people know. Yeah. Aaron Nelson is the longtime Phoenix Suns head athletic trainer. He has a history with David Griffin when Griffin was back with the Suns. Yeah. They picked him up. Explain to everyone why this is such a coup and so important to the franchise.
I mean, it really is a huge and phenomenal move. You talk about it. It really is like a Kevin Durant. This would have been it's just the best guy on the market. This is a guy who, he's the reason when you hear about the Phoenix Suns training staff that he is that the Suns staff is so well appreciated, so well liked. Grant Hill, you know, credits him with extending his career. Shaquille O'Neal went there, and they were able to get an all-star season out of Shaquille toward the end of his career. He is really one of the best in the business, if not the best in the business. And with Phoenix doing a complete overhaul, the opening was there. Griff and Aaron Nelson worked together in Phoenix. Griff and Nelson actually started the same year. They both started in 1993. In Phoenix. I mean, you can imagine them probably going to like orientation together or something where they have to like go sign papers with HR or something like that. So the fact that he was able to get him out is really maybe one of the biggest offseason wins, especially for a franchise who has had the injury bug hit him quite a few times, over and over again. So
I remember
a huge win.
Andrew, I remember specifically speaking to Shaquille O'Neal once, and he, in his brief stay in Phoenix, absolutely raved about their staff. Grant Hill is another one. Steve Nash, they prolonged their careers when no one else could.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, these guys were they're at the forefront of it. I mean, I spoke with some people last night in the business who, I mean, they just couldn't stop saying good things about this guy. The fact of that, the fact that they were able to do this shows you a couple of things. One, it shows that David Griffin is committed to trying to build the absolute best team he can on and off the floor. And the other part of that is, I think they're also that Gil Benson is willing to do what everybody talked about. I mean, Griff talked about making outrageous demands. This is an outrageous demand for you to walk into the meeting with Gail and Dennis Lauser and Alvin Gentry and whoever else and say, I'm going to go get the Phoenix Suns training staff if you can give me the money to do it. And she says, okay, that's big. Because not only does that mean you're taking him away, you're also making the commitment to put the money into the athletic training staff that Aaron Nelson wants. This isn't just pulling over the head athletic trainer. This is making a commitment to getting the equipment that he wants. It's making the commitment to getting the everything that he wants, and it's going to mean a much bigger training staff as well.
Andrew Lopez, NOLA.com, the Times Picayune. And I don't think there's – I mean, I am of a firm belief that this is a direct message sent to Anthony Davis, who David Griffin said, we're going to try and talk him into staying. And the fact that you get this trainer with Anthony Davis year in, year out, always hurt at some point in time, ever since he arrived in the Big Easy, I think it's a direct message sent to him.
It absolutely is. I mean, this is a guy who, and as much, and I will say this, the Pelicans have made some strides in that department in the last year or two. Minor strides. This is a major stride. And for AD, you take two steps back. Prior to this year, he had two relatively healthy years, playing 75 games in each season. He played, I think, the least amount of games in his career this year, but there was a lot of factors around that. He tried playing through some ankle injuries early. The broken finger was obviously just a bad kind of string of luck. I mean, he reached for a ball, he broke the finger. But overall, this is a shot to him, and not just to him, but to any player in the NBA, is that we are committed. That's two of the things I think that Gail has really kind of taken and changed perception-wise. You remove Vicky Loomis out of the equation. Not that he was making decisions at all, but the perception that a football guy was in charge of your basketball operation. You remove that, and you get the best available guy out there in David Griffin. And on the other side, you take what's probably one of your biggest weaknesses and you turn it into an absolute strength. That's a sign to everyone in the NBA that this team isn't playing around.
I'm with you. Andrew Lopez, NOLA.com, the Times speaking as he covers the New Orleans Pelicans daily. They're trying to revamp the organization, and apparently they missed out on L.A. Clipper assistant general manager Trent Redden, who also has close ties with David Griffin. But where do you think the Pels go next?
He's going to continue to build that. Just because he missed out on Redden, he's not going to stop. I mean, there are some other targets out there. You look at who he worked with in Cleveland, who he worked with in Phoenix. Not sure of any specific names just yet, but there are guys out there. There's guys out there who are working, there's guys who are still working right now with all the teams who are in the playoffs.
Right.
Who Griff has on his list. And as teams are eliminated, as the season goes on, as the summer progresses, you're going to start to figure out who exactly he has on his mind that he wants to come in here. This is going to be a staff that grows. I don't think that he is going to get rid of anyone on this Pelican staff, but he is going to add his guys to continuously try to make this a bigger and better staff.
Yeah, and to put them in the leadership roles so they are in control of the departments that they are overseeing. I can understand that completely. But it still comes down to players. You got to get players, and the current the current player grouping that they have is not going to cut it. So are you hearing things around the league that all of a sudden now the Pelicans are more favorable place for good players to want to come, or is this still just kind of a lost island out there?
You know, it's definitely a changed perception. It's definitely a changed perception. And just by hiring Griffin, getting Eric Nelson, you already see it. You already see former players tweeting about it. Jared Dudley, who plays for the Nets, he tweeted about it, about how big of a win it was for New Orleans. This in general just changes the landscape of what you want to do.
Yeah.
But you said you still need to get the talent. So the talent portion is still, you got to go out and get the guys. All right, this is only going to make so much of a difference. You go out, you get some things different. You get some more players. I'm not saying this team is going to be a contender next season, but the groundwork is laid, Anthony Davis or not, for them to be a winner in the future.
Well, if things go according to form, as everyone is projecting, they're going to be teams that are going to be completely different. Maybe even Golden State's going to be completely different after this season, which brings me to that contentious series just one game in. And both teams, you know, Houston's been doing what they do all year long, and they expect, those players expect those same calls to come during the playoffs, and sometimes officials in the playoffs swallow their whistle. So you got Rockets complaining about some missed calls or no calls. You've got the Warriors complaining about the, it's just become so much of an emphasis on the officiating and the referees. I'm really curious to see how the NBA handles this.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny. When I read the report yesterday from the Rockets about how they game seven from last year cost them the NBA championship. I just read that, and all I could think about was the NFC championship game.
Yes.
And everything that Saints fans were saying and doing. And I was like, I could just see Saints fans like nodding, like, come on, Houston. We know how you feel. We get it. But it's getting bad, man. It's getting bad. Like, players are calling out referees on Twitter.
Yeah.
This is something that is going to have to be addressed in the offseason. It's not anything that's going to be just easily settled. The tensions between the referees and the players has been growing and growing.
No question.
And I think we're getting to a boiling point, and it's going to have to be something that the league has to sit down and address this offseason, getting the Players Association and the referees in a room and just getting it all together.
What do you think they do? Because now you've got so much focus on the Rockets, who are great at drawing fouls, particularly at the three-point line, as they contort their body to draw contact. Now all of a sudden they're complaining vociferously about this. If the officials start calling that now you're going to have Golden State saying, wait a minute. How is that a foul now and it wasn't in game one? That's the conundrum that's being faced. And all the pressure is on those three that are trying to control the game and keep the peace as the group of referees. I don't know how they win.
Yeah, because you don't win. Because the Rockets' argument in this situation is, how was it a foul in the 82 games in the regular season?
Yes.
And it was a foul in the first round, but it wasn't a foul in game one. And like you said, the Warriors are going to say, well, if it wasn't a foul in game one, how's it a foul now? The only thing I will say is I did like that the playoff referees in game one were at least consistent in that they didn't really call it the entire game. But it was still something that was called all year. It was, you can't change now just because, you know, it's the Warriors. Because that makes it bad, though, that you're changing things for the Warriors. So to me, I think they got to get down. And what I think you'll see, and I think it also goes back to one of the things where you'll see probably some higher fines maybe come out of this.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Just in the same way that you're probably going to end up getting a higher fine for trade demand, just because of the Anthony Davis situation.
Right.
That's going to be what happens. But I at least want to see them at least get on the same page about some things. You're never going to have referees, players agree.
No.
You're never going to have refs and players wanting to go, go to Cancun together after the season.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you need to have it a little bit better than maybe what the relations are right now.
Isn't it amazing? Andrew Lopez, NOLA.com, the Times-Picayune, back to the Pelicans. I, in all my years of being with them and following them, I never got the sense when George Shin was in the ownership role that this was a stable organization. It always had the – even when they went and were one game away from the Western Finals – I never got the sense that this thing was on solid ground. For the first time in all the years since this team came over from Charlotte and went through the Oklahoma City phase after Katrina, I have never felt more secure in the stability of the Pelicans franchise. They may not be worth a plug nickel next year. They may not win many – I don't know. But I've never felt more secure about their situation, their commitment to the team, their commitment to the city. Do you feel the same way?
Absolutely. You go back, and like you said, with Shin, it was always kind of okay. But then right when they started winning, there was the questions about the ownership and what was going to happen. And obviously, that went awry. The NBA has to buy the team. Even when Benson first bought the team, it was almost like he did it to save the team. And not to take anything away from what he did, but it was, he saved the team, we're fine. Okay, what are we going to do next? We rebranded, but it still was kind of, you had that little brother mentality. That's out the window now. That is completely gone. This is now a team that is looking to the future. It's not just looking at this year and seeing what can happen. There is a plan.
Mm-hmm.
There is commitment, and like you said, this team could end up going 38-44 next year, but I think fans will be more confident in what the plan is going forward than they have in the past.
I'm with you. Andrew Lopez never sleeps. The NBA never sleeps, so we'll see what happens next. But again, to come full circle, what a great, great coup it is
huge,
that they were able
huge.
To get the head trainer from the Phoenix Suns. That's it had to be a dollars and cents value, I guess, but they got him, and that's a quite a compliment, a great start to the David Griffin era as running the program.
Absolutely, and I mean you couldn't have picked a better way to start. Maybe if you would have got Renton and Nelson, but the fact that you got Nelson. It's going to change. It's going to make on-court differences. Redden would have just helped you as a GM, but Griffin's making the decision. Getting Aaron Nelson is going to have on-court differences next season.
Well said. You're the best. Thank you, my friend. Enjoy the off-season, but there is no such thing. So thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
All right, buddy. You take care. Andrew Lopez, NOLA.com. The Times-Picayune. That brought to you by D.C.'s Little Capital Exxon, I-10 at the Henderson-Cecilia exit in Brobridge. Frankie loves his sports, loves them all, the Cajuns, the Tigers, the Saints, the Pels. He'll talk to you about it, and he'll show you everything in his store, and he's got everything, plus that true soul food deli tucked away in the corner with the best cheeseburger your palate will ever taste. Yes, indeed. So whether you're going 550 or 500 miles, D.C.'s Little Capital Exxon has everything to keep your traveling party happy. And that makes for a happy road trip. We'll be back to wrap things up next.
Opinion matters.
Yeah, can I have your help with this?
It's really your opinion.
And the harder you worked, the more money you could make.
What if you could become an expert on traditional media,
digital media,
social media? If you don't like where you're working now, then why aren't you working here?
We have an entire group of radio and television stations, and we're looking for account executives to work with our clients,
helping them develop new ideas. You could be their go-to marketing person. A person that everyone relies on.
Yeah, can I have your help
with this?
Can you
help me with this one?
Imagine having a job where every day at work is different. Imagine having a say in your destiny, your career, your income. Want to find out more? Visit DeltaMediaCorp.com. That's DeltaMediaCorp.com and click job openings. Or call Shanae at 337-886-4669. That's 337-886-4669. Delta Media Corporation is an equal opportunity employer.
Liberty Mutual Insurance presents.
And Doug. Is that your pet, Emu?
He's my partner, Limu. And we're here to tell you that Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance, so you only pay for what you need.
So is he only an emu because it rhymes with Limu, as in Liberty Mutual?
Well, I wouldn't
consider. So this is just a clever way to get people to remember Liberty Mutual, huh?
Kinda.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com.
Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Equal housing insurer. State laws apply.
There's a lot going on right now, and broadcasters are on the ground covering all of it, bringing you the weather, the traffic, and breaking news, all while entertaining you 24 hours a day. Someone needs to tell you what's going on around the world and in our hometowns. And that someone is us. We are free radio. We are always there. We are broadcasters. Visit wearebroadcasters.com or text radio to 52886 to learn more. Furnished by NAB and this station.
The great thing about basketball is your team can win, or they might come up short. Either way, how much fun you have is all about who you're hanging with. When you're at Hooters, every game's a win. And there's no such thing as a party of one, because the world-famous Hooters girls are always there with an assist. So come on down to Hooters, your official hangout for game day.
Catch all the games at Hooters. Enjoy 15 boneless wings and a pitcher, only $15 all day, every day.
You can always score big by being a member of the 103.7 The Game Clubhouse. Here's what's going on now.
Right now in the 103.7 The Game Clubhouse, enter to win tickets and dinner for two to see Ronnie Millsap at Cypress Bayou Casino Hotel, a gift from Mr. Lester Steakhouse or Mabel's Kitchen, and a gift card to Prejean's.
Win tickets, gift certificates, and more by joining the 103.7 The Game Clubhouse on 1037thegame.com or on the free mobile app.
The Blonde Bomber is back and better than ever as you are locked into the Jordy Hultberg Show on 1037 The Game, 1037thegame.com, and on the app.
All right, welcome back. Bye-bye. Gonna let it ride. The Kentucky Derby coming up this Saturday, the first Saturday in May, the run for the proverbial roses. We'll have previews of that coming up later on in the week, to be sure. So get your handicappers ready, because here we come. Let's go to our daily history lesson. We do it every day at this time of day. And that takes us to this day where the Iron Horse set a Major League Baseball record in the year 1939. Lou Gehrig played his 2,130th consecutive and final game, all for the New York Yankees. Wally Pipp went out with a illness. Lou Gehrig came in. Wally Pipp never saw the field again. And Lou Gehrig in the Baseball Hall of Fame. Oh, how fun it must have been to be a kid to watch Gehrig and Ruth and that team do their thing. How about that? On this day, April 30th, 1939. Wow. Birthday wishes, if today is your birthday. Man, happy birthday from all of us to all of you here at Delta Media, KLWB, 103.7 The Game, and everybody else under the umbrella. We hope you have a great one. You share it with the likes of 57-year-old Isaiah Thomas. Isaiah and the Indiana Hoosiers beat
my LSU Tigers in the Final Four in Philadelphia in the 1980-81 season. Ugh, that was a good team. They went on to beat North Carolina to win the national championship the next Monday night. We lost to them on a Saturday afternoon. Ugh, hated it. Also, happy birthday to the greatest women's basketball player in LSU basketball history, Simone Augustus, an all-SEC performer, now playing in China, had a nice run in the NBA, now playing overseas. Brandon Bass celebrating a birthday today. And two legendary Hall of Famers, Doc Fenton from back in the day, and the Heisman Trophy runner-up was the athletic director, was the head coach at LSU, and just a great guy. Just got his number retired. The great Jerry Stovall celebrating a birthday today as well. So happy birthday to all of them from all of us. If it's your anniversary, happy anniversary. I hope you keep adding year after year after year to it. Tomorrow, two of our regulars will join us. It's a hump day, so we've got Michael Huguenin talking all things college football, and Cody Worsham, LSU's digital media director, will join us. We'll talk all things LSU. We'll get you ready for the Kentucky Derby and much, much more. Special thanks to our guests today, Billy Embody, talking about the great recruiting job that Ed Orgeron and his staff are doing. Brody Miller on the updated health status of the LSU baseball staff and team. And Andrew Lopez, what a great hire they got, the Phoenix Suns trainer. He is the best in the business. Sends a good, good message. We only have one Tuesday, April 30th. Man, make it a great afternoon and evening. Come on back tomorrow, same time, 2 to 4. Same station, 103.7 The Game. Until then, I'm Jordy Helper. Stay thirsty, my friends. Stay thirsty.